listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kolula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Actually, it backs up a little before that. I started in music. My first career was professional sax player, so I did that for a long time.
Woodwinds, man. That's awesome.
Woodwinds, yeah. That's what I studied in college and growing up and stuff. But I always had this passion. I went to UC Santa Cruz, and I went to College of Marin. I did a music program up in the Bay Area, and it was a great music school. So I was going to go to SF State and study there, but I kind of figured that those who can do and those who don't teach who can't teach sorry those who can do and those who can't teach. So I didn't really want to get my BA and start teaching music students because I'd had a little taste of that, so I decided to come on down to LA and just dive into it. But the thing, going back to your point about the dance, is that I always had this passion for theater since I was a little kid. I have no idea how, it was just in my DNA. So the whole move to New York and study at the Joffrey School of Ballet, and you know, that was just something I had to do.
But that's not a very easy school to get into. So did you have training before, or were you just super intense about just like learning how to do this?
Well, look, I'm old as the hills, right? So back in the day, it was a lot easier for, you know, if you were a male dancer and you could lift the girls and you were strong and, you know, you were at all good, you could get into the dance company or whatever it was. So, the training that I had before that, I was doing musical theater since I was a kid, and then took tap classes and jazz classes and ballet classes. And then I just kind of got serious about it when I knew that I wanted to do the musical theater thing. And for me, I was going to ballet classes, not to necessarily be a ballet dancer, but to transfer that to film and TV, Broadway, those kind of things.
So you knew when you were there, you were like, this is just to springboard me into something else.
Completely. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. Because I wouldn't have thought, like, first of all, that school is super competitive and it puts you in New York. So you're in the environments. But I would think it's a pretty rigorous program that you wouldn't have time to do anything else.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's that's just me, man. That's my life. It's like right now I'm still on a rigorous program, but it's just, look, it's packaged a little bit differently. So I've just been somebody who kind of does a bunch of things all at once. I'm doing music and I'm doing dance, and then I'm doing dance and choreography and then filmmaking and editing and all that kind of stuff. So I keep myself busy.
Are there any one of those prongs that you find yourself more inspired by, or do you feel like doing all of them kind of makes you feel like a full, you know, well-rounded artist?
Well, you hit the nail on the head in more than you would actually know saying that. It's that all of those things, being able to speak the language of music. I sometimes walk up when I'm working with an orchestra or a band or whatever, and I start talking about music, and like that's on, you know, the eighth note on the and of four, and they're looking at me like, what the? And then, or them, I'm there as the director, and then I go over and I go, hey, you know that Tombe Padre Glissade Jeté you're doing right there? And they're like, so, and then I edit and I shoot and I direct and I do all those things. So basically all of those disciplines have really helped me develop into a well-rounded director, which is what I think I'm better at. I mean, the reality is that I wasn't as good as David Sanborn as a sax player, right, and not as good a dancer as Baryshnikov, and not as good an actor as whomever. But you know what? Having a good foundation in all of those things and being proficient at all of those has really given me the tools to be a really, I think, badass, well-rounded director.
Well, the cool thing is they're all kind of connected on some level, storytelling. And being a director like you are, you are the storyteller. It's like,
yes,
you're making movies or you're directing music videos. You are a storyteller, and knowing all those different mediums just makes you a better storyteller. So you just feel like more versed. But you have to have great timing, because you probably feel things, even like scenes or anything, having a pace more because you have a music background, you've got a dance background. How does that affect, or does it ever get in the way of the artistic process?
Yeah, I'm just going to let you sit here and do me, because you are hitting the nail right on the head a lot. One of the things that makes me a really good director and editor is the music background. And whether it's films have a pace, storytelling has a pace, editing has a pace. And I used to sit in the chair directing Pro Tools sessions. So I got really good at looking at waveforms and understanding the rhythm of things. And basically, the bottom line is, whatever shit you're making, it has to feel good. And if it doesn't feel good, I don't care how much money you spent on it, what the trick of the, I mean, maybe there's a cool visual effect or whatever, but it's all about timing. And then when you're dealing with images, in, let's say in filmmaking, which I do a lot of these days, I'm dealing in choreographing imagery, adding the sound, and creating this whole thing that's one big arc with peaks and valleys. It's all, life is a song, man. Life is a song.
Yeah, that's very true. And you know what? It's, you know, with music, I'm a musician. So with music, it's like all I think about is how things sound and how it feels.
How it
with
feels.
With directing, it's like, you know, with having that music background, you're thinking about how things feel and how things sound, but you're also thinking about this optical part that musicians don't necessarily think about too much, because we're always listening. You know, it's like everything's oral, you know, for here. But how does that affect which sense you're kind of going to, like, which sense between sight and sound takes precedence in those moments?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing, because I find myself, let me give you an example. So I used to choreograph a ton of stuff. I don't choreograph so much anymore, but every once in a while I'll still be doing something, and people will wonder where the steps come from. And sometimes I'm listening to that bass drum that's doing doom, 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 and you're going boom, 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 or whatever it is. And then the hi-hat suddenly going, and so now you're doing this little footwork to this little thing, and then the snare drum is giving zoom, ka, ka. And so then you're doing these hits on the two and the four, right? So I've always found myself as a choreographer weaving between the different instruments, and what does the vocal say? And so I find the same thing with directing. I kind of listen to the different voices that are coming at me. Is it the white, bright light that's the beat in silence? Or is it the score? Or is it the person's line? Or is it the movement, the tap of the finger, or the look to the side? Or, you know, you see it a lot in scary films, right? Something happens and it's like, look to the side and wham, this sound hits you and this thing jolts you out of your chair. And it's, they often give you those fake ones where it's nothing. It's just the wind blowing the door open or whatever. But anyway, so it really depends on the piece. And I take my inspiration from all different aspects of it all the time.
That's awesome. I actually do the same thing with music. It's like, if I'm mixing something, I usually mix the thing that's the most exciting, you know? So if it's like there's a bass fill or a drum fill, it's like I'll mix those to come up, you know, for the ear to kind of dance a little bit and kind of respond. So I'm sure you're doing that with sight and sound.
Sight and sound, for sure. Yeah.
You ever feel like it's an obstacle to kind of capture one together with the other because you're thinking about both of them so much?
Sometimes I think, like, the answer to that question would be the times that you thought too much about the bass solo and you forgot to have the dude mirror that on the hi-hat or the tom-tom or whatever it is,
right,
when you forgot about the other voice because you were so focused on that one voice.
Right.
And but then conversely, sometimes you'll focus on that bass and you'll realize that it's so in sync with the kick drum that it makes everything feel so much better. And you kind of wish you'd planned it that way, but it was actually the drummer who picked up on it and picked up that triplet on the bass, and the kick drum's like, and the drummer did it for you. And you're like, oh man, happy accident. So
This is a great segue. Let's actually play. We're going to play the music box because it has a lot to do with some of the cinematography you kind of addressed in this, and it has a lot of music elements. So let's watch the music box real quick, and we'll talk about what went into the creative process.
You might even see me in there a little bit.
I remember. Here's the music box. Oh, where's Sam? Sam, you there? Hold on. It's coming.
So you're living out in the valley right now?
Yeah. I mean, hopefully not for much longer.
Yeah, it's hot out there, right?
Oh, it's so hot.
So this is the garage.
This is the garage?
Yeah, you can actually park two cars, tandem if you want, right here. If you have a guest come
perfect.
To stay. Yep.
I'm definitely ready for my own place.
I got a feeling this is going to be exactly what you're looking for.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Told you you'd like it.
I mean, yeah, this place is incredible.
You know, you won't find a better deal anywhere in town.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I can't believe you're only charging $1,150 for this place. I mean, I would totally give you a couple of thousand. Is that the bathroom?
Hey, I got to run downstairs and handle a few things. So feel free to look around, check it out. Let me know if you need anything.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Perfect.
on the top. You listen to me, nothing will happen. You be all okay? Let's do it. And three, four, one, two, three, and four, five, down. Yes! 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 Yes!
Everything all right in here?
Oh my god! This place is freaking real, man! How did you get all the sounds in here? It's pretty genius, by the way. I mean, let me look at this right here. That is crazy, man. Oh my god, man, we gotta get the ball rolling on this thing. I mean, I'm ready. Are you ready? What do you think? Don't think. You know what? Because I'm already sold. So what do you think?
I guess we should
get the paperwork started. Of course. You know what? You're not gonna regret this. I promise you that, buddy. I promise you that.
Fixed.
Just awesome. Super awesome.
Oh,
by the way, I love the way that you shot this. Tell me what went into the creative process for that.
Well, I'll tell you. This is like the way my life is crazy. So let's start with, I met Daniel Cloud Campos. We were both dancing on a music video. I was assisting the choreographer and kind of co-choreographing this music video for the Saturdays, which is a girl group out of England. And it happened to be on a Tuesday, but just kidding. So, met this guy.
I just got that.
we were working together, and I was shooting this sizzle reel for a dance show idea that I had, and I had rented out this space. And he had shown me a couple of the concept videos that he had done, and I was going, dude, I've got this space this week. I'm shooting these 2 days, and I've got this upstairs unit that I'm not using at all. Come down. Let's come up with some ideas. Let's do something together. So there's a place in downtown L.A., on Jasper. Anyway, so he comes down, we check it out, we come up with this idea, and Cloud, uber talented guy. So we just start putting ideas together and get down there and dive in. It took us a while. It's kind of a funny story in that we shot this one weekend and the sun was beaming through the windows and we had a few things that we wanted to change and a couple of other pickups to do. And we kept re-renting the space over and over again. And it was always cloudy out, so we could never match the look that we had. Literally, it was probably the fourth time that we rented it for the day down the road that finally the sun was shining. But some of that lighting where you see the shadows on the walls, that's me actually using my lighting skills and techniques and every trick I could come up with to try to recreate what we had found there day one.
Wow.
Anyway, just looking at the space and being a musician as well, and how do we play and what there's a post there. What is it? There's a, you know, electric, you know, a fretless upright bass on the floor. And some of the stuff, I mean, that was back. We shot that on a Canon 7D. So back in the day, that stuff dollying back and forth, this was true guerrilla filmmaking. We just brought all our toys that we had, but that we actually took a skateboard, put the camera on a skateboard. The other guy shooting with me, Jerry Evans, is another dancer, choreographer friend of mine. So we're kind of, and so everybody in the room is agile. Some of the shots, I'm literally dancing alongside him, jumping and leaping while he's going up to climb on the wall and so on and so forth. So we used every trick we could come up with and, you know, balancing the camera using these quarters so that we could get the right angle and just sliding it back and forth from one another and just doing crazy stuff like that. It was a blast to do.
Well, yeah. And it's like it's shot as well as it sounds, as well as it looks, and the choreography, everything just works together. What was done first? Did you shoot it first and then set it to music?
Yeah, we shot it first with there was a rough mix of the song, and so then we just started, you know, we started playing with it. And since we went back those four times, you know how it goes, right? You shoot it, you start working on it, you go, oh, what if this happened there? Oh, I've got this bass part. Let me add some more to the composition. And Daniel wrote the music. And so he would add a little more and say, while we're here, let's shoot this. And I got this new bass part, ding, 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 ba-ding, you know, and just finding ways to use the room. The room was the instrument. And how do you make that interesting? And, you know, those windows shaking. There's three of us, maybe four of us in the room at the time. And we're all using, I think we had brooms at times, banging the windows or yanking on the chains. It was just really creative people in a room making something fun in any way, shape or form. You know, it was very,
it's gotten new. You there?
Yep, I'm here.
I don't know what happened, man. I'm sorry.
I don't know. We froze. You said it's got and that's where we left off.
Well, it's got 2 million streams or something like that on YouTube.
Yeah.
It just has a great vibe. And it's like, you know what I really love is when you see something that's captivating for the eyes, ears, and it's shot well. Like, for me, it's like I think inside I love cinematography almost as much as music, because it's an art, you know. And it's like, yeah, you see movies like The Revenant or you see things like that, and you just know when somebody's able to capture something. So I feel like when I watch things now, especially having worked on some videos of my own, really admire when there's, you know, the difference between good and great cinematography. And man, right, what you did on that was just superb. It's just so well done. Very, very well done.
Thanks, brother. Speaking of which, I'm excited to see what Mr. Doug Silton comes up with regard to that thing we worked on together. You know, that was a fun day.
Did you see any of the rough clips? Because
I've seen none of it yet.
Wow. So but you watched some of the stuff that you shot, right?
No, I haven't seen any of it.
Wow. Well, seriously? Oh, none. Man.
Doug's been holding out on me. What the hell?
He said he's going on vacation, but he's going on a trip. But he said he's almost done with some of the edits. But I can't wait to see it too. That's what was it? It was impressive, like working with you, just watching you, the way you were shooting things, the angles, the lighting. I was like, oh, this guy knows what's up, dude. And Doug kind of put a crew of people that knew what they were doing in different spheres. So it was really neat to see how that came together.
That was a really cool day. It was odd, obviously, to be coming out of the year that we'd all had and to be back in the room with some artists and stuff. But it was it's always great when people get together for art's sake.
Right.
You know, that's kind of a lost thing these days, right? It's how much does it pay? I guess people are doing their own brand for free and enjoying that. But to get a group of people to come in and lend their talents. And it was just, for me, I was there all day and watching the next wave of, oh, here's some cool other fuckers coming in to shoot right now. Oh, here's some more cool people coming in. Like, you came a little bit later in the day to do your scene, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
And
right.
then I don't know. Were you there when we shot the outside scene at the end by the boat with the swing dancers?
That's right when I left. You guys were shooting that right when I left. I mean, this is just so cool. Everything about
it. I can't wait to see that stuff. Just really good people coming together. It was awesome.
Well, you know, it was like what I love with things like that. It's like you can never really take in what your role is in that.
Right.
And you see that final product of like
what
the entire vision is. So it's like we were all players in this, you know, this scheme, you know, and I can't wait to see the final product. With directing, you kind of like see more of like you kind of know more of what's going on scene to scene. But,
I'll tell you how I learned directing. But first of all, to go back, for those of you who don't know what the heck we're talking about, our friend Doug Silton, this is how we met, was just did a concept video, and he's an exceptional swing dancer and social dance expert. And so we did this piece together where there were musicians and dancers and beautiful people coming together to make a nice piece that we'll be sharing it when it comes out. But Doug, get on that edit, man. But although I know how that is, it's like
the next video we're going to show you, I think you edited and directed, or you edited this, the NERD video, right?
Yeah, this one, actually, the NERD video, I actually choreographed.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. So what was I going to say about the way I learned, you know, you were talking about as a director, I see stuff or whatever. But actually, the way I learned to direct, I never went to film school. I just, being a performer and a dancer and a choreographer, would be on set and I would just kind of take in, instead of fucking around on set, I would pay attention and I would ask the camera guy, what does that do? And I would sit behind the directors and producers and watch how they would make tough decisions or, you know, so therefore from the beginning of my filmmaking career and choreography career and even musician career, it's like paying attention to how these things work. I've always been curious about it, and I ask questions and figure it out. So that, you know, I was decided that I would get paid to go to film school, not pay to go to film school. So people would say, "Hey, can you do this?" I'm like, "Of course I can. How the hell do you do that? Let me figure it out." Oh shit!
That had to be a transition though to learn the technical aspect of like cameras, lenses, all that. Tell me a little bit about that.
It's been a journey, but fortunately, you know, all the film school that you need, you can pretty much find most of it on YouTube these days. You know, tutorials are so helpful. I still learn stuff all the time doing that. But then you kind of learn a little bag of tricks per project. You can see over my shoulder, I've got this documentary film that is playing. It's called A Perfect Vintage. You can't really read it right now, but it's a documentary that I made. I started in 2013. My brother's a winemaker in Napa, so I covered an entire year of his filmmaking. And then the wine's journey for the next 3 years through barrel and bottle and then released to public in the scoring system. And it's out and it's doing really well. It just screened Sunday at the Pasadena Film Festival. We were in Sonoma Film Festival. It's going to be in Catalina starting next week, Film Festival, and then Newport Beach. And we've got some offers for distribution and stuff. But,
that's awesome.
Yeah, but in doing that job and making this movie, I learned how to embed text, you know, make it part of the scene. My thing was I want to make the text be in the scene. So learning this whole skill. So I kind of learned this little bucket of skill set making my film. And the job I'm doing that I was working on today was editing for Disney, where I'm doing finishing editing. And it has to do with some of that stuff that I learned, you know, for each project that you do. My point is that for each project that you do, you learn a new thing. How do you put the letters behind the person? How do you use this different type of reverb or, you know, the Hammond B3 organ? What's that going to do? You know, you start using those different tricks and you put them all in your back pocket, man. And when you've been doing it for a while.
What's nice about what you're doing is you're able to kind of like communicate in so many different mediums that working with all these different types of artists, that you see what they see. And that's not always the case. Like I've worked with a lot of directors where they're like so concerned about the visual that they don't always think about the audio side of a music video or like hits or like, you know, certain things like that are happening even in the scene, they'll take what's technically more correct in the scene over like what's really captivating visually.
Sometimes. That goes back to two things. What's the rule we talked about earlier? It has to feel good. It doesn't matter if it's technically correct. Because there, you know, I learned from people on TikTok and on Instagram today, right? Because I have studied this and I'm passionate about it and I know a lot about it and I work in the professional world. But then I see these kids and other people who are now doing stuff on their phone and you go, wow, look at, isn't that interesting? And it may not be film school right, but boy, it's right.
Yep. I had a director do a live footage of a music festival we played, and there was like all this stuff going on in the band. Like I was dancing around with the band, with the sax player, and like there was all this energy, but like he didn't capture, one of his cameramen was like shaky on the footage, but it was the only camera that captured it. And I was like, you got to put that in, man. There's so much energy. And he was like, nah, I don't want to put my name on it if it's got this shaky camera, because it's just like, and I'm like, dude, it's the only camera that caught it. You got to put it in. So he actually released his version of an edit. And then I put mine on my YouTube channel. Mine's got a lot more views. But I was like, yo, you know, it's going to, people are going to respond to what you said. If it feels good, if it looks good, you know, it's all those things.
Now that is a battle that I have. Like, for instance, doing this documentary, A Perfect Vintage, aperfectvintage.com. Check it out. Trailer's on there. And, You can screen it coming up at the Catalina Film Festival. Shameless plug. But the battle that I had doing this is that I wanted it to have, because it's about Napa and wine and cheers and about all that. I really wanted the cinematography to be exquisitely beautiful. But then there's that one shot, that shaky fucking shot that is the only shot that captures the energy of the moment.
Right.
And when you look at documentaries in particular, or and even not in documentaries, but, you know, and I will say that we're given a little grace these days, right? Because I remember when we first started seeing home videos, and if the news would play something that they didn't produce, they would have to quantify it by saying home video at the bottom of the screen. Now we're used to cell phone video. Is it upright? Is it landscape? Is it this? Is it shaky? Who cares? You know what, Rex? A good experience watching something before picture sound. If it sounds like shit, it's the experience is gone. It's like, but we're so used to this thing because we're all doing it all day long on it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So you get a little, in today's world, you get a little grace when it comes to the camera work. So pick the shot that you were right. Pick that shot.
Yeah, you know, it was weird. It was like I had like a little bit of a wrestle with that director. And it was, you know, we didn't like fight over it, but I was like, listen, man, this has what the live energy of the band is doing. No one's going to care about what the camera's doing. They're looking at what the band's doing in the moment, because that's the whole point of the live, you know, video shoot. So, yeah, it's just weird how some of that works. Let's showcase the NERD video and talk about the choreography side of your brain. Because I think that's also a very awesome artistic venture that you've kind of gone into. This is the NERD song, Hot and Fun, and here we go.
Enjoy.
Day. People don't want to think no more, they just want to feel, they want to let go.
Cool.
So, talk to me about that.
Yeah, there's actually another version that's a longer version that actually Pharrell and his whole crew walk into the room and they look around.
At the end, like, yeah, I watched that. I love that version.
Yeah. And they're like, what the fuck is going on in here right now? So the director on that, Tobin Seymour, he's actually his spirit animal is a dancer, because that was him in the middle of the circle with the cowboy hat on. He never shows his face, but he's doing little feet in and out kind of a thing. So my friend Joanne Jansen worked with Tobin, and I'd done a couple of music videos as a performer for him. And she couldn't do this gig, and it wasn't really up her alley, because somehow where in my life I became an expert at the country western dance scene. My buddy Troy Bird just dragged me to this country bar, and it was kind of easy stuff if you've got a dance background. So he sent me this video that was this Appalachian family that I know there were a lot of banjos. It was pretty bizarre. It was this family, and they were dancing in a living room like that. And they were all kind of clogging, which is a style of dance that comes from that, the Smoky Mountains and the Appalachians. And it's like tap dancing, but it's not quite. It's like country tap dancing. And it's this whole family doing this kind of partnering thing. And so I watched that video a few times, and I took what I knew. Here's what's amazing about that video. So it goes on much longer than the take that we just saw. Like I said, Pharrell and those guys walk in, and there's partner dancing around in a circle, and all this stuff happens. What blows my mind about that is that they called me. I called my buddy Joe Loera. We got those dancers together the day before the video, a couple days before. We got to the set that day. We rehearsed in the morning. We shot it in the afternoon. So that was a one-day thing. It was putting that whole thing together. And if you – there's a guys' dance battle with the girls, and then a
big
all kinds of stuff that happened. So just the fact that we were able to accomplish that in one single day was pretty impressive to me, yeah.
Yeah. How did you get Pharrell Williams and some of the guys in the NERD in the
video? Well, I mean, that it's their song. So Tobin was hired by the record label. So he presented him with his idea, and Pharrell came back and said, nah, I wouldn't do that. Here's what I would do. And he came down and he saw the set, and he said, yeah, if we saw what was going on here right now, this is what we'd do. We'd walk in and we'd be like, all right, that's cool. Okay, cool. You do you, boo. And then we'd bounce. And that's what they did. So you saw the scene, right? You got to check it out. You can see it. It's on my YouTube channel, but it's out there.
I thought that was the one that I sent, but because I saw it on your page. When right. I looked it up on YouTube, that was the only one that was on YouTube. So
yeah, it's on I have a channel that's a not too populated channel, but Troy Christian. If you go there, there's school after school at school. Troy Christian Schools. But I have a channel there. If you go to my channel, you can look at the whole video there. It's a
little fun fact. A friend of mine was the guitarist in NERD, and he plays with Pharrell still. So
oh, wow.
I'll have to show him that video because I don't know if he's seen it. Maybe he has.
I think they did a couple different versions of that song video wise, but that was definitely fun to do. And I'm definitely always amazed that we did that shit in one day.
Well, did you come up with the choreography like on the spot?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had the song, and I worked on it the day before, and I put together some combinations, but that's what you do. You get there. It's kind of like, look, I can talk to you. See, I speak the music language. You get there, you guys know, let's just say, what's the song? If you as a sax player, we used to do jazz standards. So you go and you're going to say, all right, hey, okay, All of Me. And everyone knows it. And you play the song, but you, and I guess this isn't a good example, but any song that you want to do, you're going to make your arrangement, right? So you just get together with the musicians and you start jamming on what's in front of you and what the foundation is and what the intention that you guys have set, and you make a new break in the middle, or you throw it to the guitar player for the solo, or you give the drummer some, or whatever it might be, and you make an arrangement of that song. So I did that with Steps for this video, and
you see what worked, and then you were like, okay, let's do this because it's simpler, or hey, let's do this because it visually is cooler, even if it's more difficult. Did you kind of pick and choose what moves you were going to live with?
Well, I kind of. Yes, for sure. You put it on people's bodies and you go, oh, that just doesn't look right. Or maybe the step that I gave you didn't look right, so let me give you something that looks better. But I kind of go in as a choreographer on a job like that when I knew I had one day. Sometimes, you know, you get together with the dancers and you have a couple days to kind of play around and see what happens on the spot. But when you don't have much time, you got to come in prepared. So I had the girls combination. I had the guys combination. I knew there's a battle. I had these arm patterns and this thing that we could do in a circle that just tried to emulate what I'd seen in that video that he sent me for reference. And then just get on set and, you know, make it happen. Just create on the spot.
It definitely has a magic and a vibe and an energy that you just, it's captivating. So job well done, man. You did what you needed to do. Let's talk a little bit about your directing. You directed this dance video for the Keith Urban song, The Fighter. Tell me what your concept was with that.
So I got contacted by Julia. She's got a Fowler is her last name. And my friend Kat Bayless, who was on that show, Hit the Floor. Do you know that TV show?
Yeah.
So it was a VH1 thing. So Julia, Kat, my dear friend Kat, is on Julia's show. She's got a YouTube channel that's called the Southern Women's Channel. And she does all these videos that are, I think they're titled Shit Southern Women Say. It's like, hey, y'all, he's bent over like a... insert Southern pun here, right? So Kat Bayless, who I directed her music video and was her director, musical director, choreographer for many years, recommended me to Julia, who got the record company behind Keith Urban and what's her name?
Carrie
Underwood.
Yep.
They were going to do this dance competition to the song, and they asked us to do a dance piece. So do some sort of thing that features dancers. And she had the Southern Women's Channel, so it was going to be Southern women coming together and bonding through dance. And so that's awesome. Kind of what I came up with.
Well, let's check it out. Here's Troy Christian directing The Fighter.
Try to get to you.
gag reel at the end. That wasn't the clip you used because she froze with it with that. Or did you edit that to make it look like the way it did in the video?
No, that was that was Julia, who's the one who was the Southern Woman's Channel. I froze it, yeah. But in watching that piece, man, I really like that piece. It's
awesome.
It's you can see where it goes back to the first bit of conversation that we had, which is like feel good movement, moving into movement, bringing up the sound of the tap because that's what's featured. It kind of brings, it's kind of like bringing all those things in my career as a director, the music, the dance, the cinematography, that piece kind of brought them all together because I choreographed that as well. So with the exception of the tap, I didn't choreograph that, but I haven't seen that in a while. And those, the one of the great things about working on that piece is that all of those women are really established actors. So we could find a place. Logan Browning was the star of VH1's Hit the Floor, but she was also the star of Dear White People. And so she's quite the actress, and I got her to cry. That was good. That's it takes a special something. She was like, "Oh my goodness, I was working with these other people and they couldn't get the tears. You got the waterworks, Troy. I'm really impressed." So, you know, anyway, it was good to work with.
You had this aerial shot too. It looked like you did that with a crane, but I'm sure you did not do that with a crane.
Drone, yeah.
You did it with a drone. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my buddy Nick Gravel came in, and we were down at the LA River, and he showed up just in time to grab a couple of those shots. So there's a really – I mean, all of that shot in all over Los Angeles, there was a great site that you can rent that's that white room that we used, which was beautiful, and the stairwell. But also those trains are in downtown LA, and then just towards Pasadena is that LA River, which same spot that Kendrick Lamar shot his music video. And you see a bunch of stuff from up there, but yeah,
that's awesome.
Really good group of people. Done.
And it had a lot of energy and movement, and just like, it goes back to that timing thing. You like know when to kind of like switch into a different shot or a different scene. It just all had a lot of life. How long did it take for you to shoot all of that?
We shot that in 2 days.
Wow. And what about the edit?
The edit took me probably a good week solid. Yeah. And
that's
then,
pretty good. That's amazing. Yeah,
not too bad. But, you know, it was something that needed to be done by a time. So when all you're doing is focusing on one thing instead of doing all your gigs at once, you know, it's
right.
You know, unlike Doug Silton, who still hasn't gotten that thing done. Come on, Doug.
You know what? I did a music video on the Santa Monica Pier with Flash Mob America. We had like, I think we had 20 professional dancers and then another 20 or 30 just like regular Joes learning this dance stuff. And it took us, it was a 1 day shoot. So we did everything in 1 day, but it took us 30 days to edit everything.
Oh, wow.
And it was just like, and you know, that was kind of like when I started to learn about directing. Cause I got the first edit from the director. And I was like, yo man, give me all the cameras. Let me go through all the cameras and see what shots I like, because I just wasn't satisfied with it.
Right.
I went through all the cameras, and I realized how much work editors have, because, man, it was like you're watching the same. It was only like 4.5 minutes, but you're watching the same 4.5 minutes 3 different times and trying to make 12 seconds work on one camera and then shift to another camera. And, you know, like I really had so much respect for editors and directors in that moment, because it's like, it's so complicated. How do you find what shots look good? Do you kind of like make a mental kind of like memory of, I know I got this shot on camera one, or do you kind of like make notes? Like, how does it work for you as an editor/director?
That's a interesting question. And I've talked about this a lot in my life. People always say, oh, Troy, you need to hire an assistant editor to log all the footage and do all that, you know, boring pre-production kind of work. And I say, you know what, I could do that. But the thing is that I go through all those cameras myself and I make notes in Premiere Pro and log what it's about and make a little language that says, you know, I start making descriptive things that I can search. But in doing that, it's like I have this blank canvas, and then in going through all the footage and knowing the story I'm trying to tell, somehow that shit implants itself in my brain and I start editing and it just comes out like I'm not even the one controlling my hands. You know what I mean? It's a weird thing, but you know, you had a little bit of an experience with that. You looked at all those cameras and then you're going, oh, I know that I saw on the hook that person doing this dance step and singing it like this from the side, and you knew it was there. You didn't know where it was, but let me go back and find that. And that's what happens, because things strike you, because we all know when we see a work of art, when we see a piece that we like or a moment or a beat that we really like or that touches us, it kind of sticks with you. So when you drop into those moments, it's they just come back out. So for me, I just dive in and I have to get to know all the footage somehow it pops back out when I need it to. So,
well, Troy, you are a true artist on all levels. Where can people find you if they want to hire you to direct or choreograph or edit?
Well, you can go to my website, troychristian.com. My email is troychristian@mac.com. And let's see what else. If you go to troychristian.com, you can take a look at all the kind of the stuff that I've done. You can contact me there. And, you know, I'm always looking to collaborate with artists and talented people. So come on with it.
Yeah, you and I are going to have to collaborate on our own thing, man. We'll have to make
something. Let's do it. That'd be great.
We'll have to, you know, put our heads together and see what we can come up with. But
that'd be great.
You're a great artist, and I appreciate your time. And thanks for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. We're going to have you come back in about 9 or 10 months.
So okay, that sounds great.
Keep making. You know what we'll do is, as your movie gets finished. I mean, I know it's finished, but I mean, as it gets distribution, let's have you come back and we'll just do a whole feature on that movie.
That sounds great. That's pleasure to be here. Hey man, cheers. Speaking of a perfect vintage, I'm drinking some wine from that my brother made this wine right here. So it's always good to have a good winemaker in the family. And one of the wines. So here's. I have a saying that's it's oftentimes better to be lucky than good, right? So I do this documentary. One of the wines I covered scored 100 points from the world's top wine critic, Robert Parker Jr. So that's how the movie got its title, A Perfect Vintage. And I'm gonna marinate on that.
Well, I'll leave you with a great quote: "In vino veritas, in wine there is truth." So we'll leave it on that. Thank you, Troy. On behalf of Sam, myself, and Troy, we'll see you guys here next week. Thanks for being a guest, Troy. Good luck with the movie, and we'll see you back in about 9 or 10 months, man.
Okay, cheers. Thanks for having me, guys. Cheers, man. Appreciate you.
Good, guys.
One love.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.